Hello and welcome to the Dab Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is my my fellow leader in parental volunteering, none other, PTA President Christy Dedekian. How are you on this fine day, Miss Christy?
Oh, I'm good. I'm doing very well. It was the end of spring break. The kids went back to school. So.
All right.
Yes.
My friend Heath, who's been on the show. He has this great bit because he does a lot of Disney cruise lines where he compares the cruise line to Christmas. And it's like in the beginning, he's like, oh, children, we're going to have a wonderful holiday. It's going to be so great. And then like with 2 days left, like, everybody shut up. Get out of here. Go to school now.
That's pretty much exactly how my spring break went.
Did you do anything for spring break? Did you guys do a trip or
no.
is it?
We talked about going somewhere, but my husband ended up having to work more than he wanted to. So we just decided to do a little staycation. But here's the problem. It rained. And you know, when it rains here in Southern California, you're like, we can't go anywhere.
It's like a bomb blizzard to the Northeast.
It really is.
I've said it here multiple times. I found out from our very own principal that there are parents who keep their kids home from school in Los Angeles if it's raining too hard.
Yep. So we had a little, my middle one, Lana, turned 11 on Wednesday. So we had a little bit of fun times with her birthday. And then I think it was Thursday, it like poured all day long. It rained on Wednesday too. But on Thursday, we're just going to have a day where we stay inside and we relax. And yeah, by the end of that day, it was a lot of, I can't take it anymore. Everybody needs to go.
And you have three girls, right? So
correct.
Is there a lot of, is there a lot of nitpicking when you got three girls?
There's a lot of fighting in my house. There's a lot of fighting.
I don't want to be sexist, but because I only have the boys, but I have to ask the question is like, when you is there a lot of psychological warfare that happens when you have three daughters?
There's my youngest is an instigator. She likes to poke the bear. So she will definitely, decide to somehow antagonize one of them if she's not getting the right amount of attention. And then my middle one tends to just blow up and get very mad and go after her. So there's a lot of that. And my oldest is right now currently smack dab in the middle of puberty. So that's been fun.
Oh, do you watch Big Mouth on Netflix?
I don't.
We just started watching this. And if anybody
I've
is listening,
though,
especially if you got a kid who's getting close to pubescence, It might be extra funny to you, but it's basically the show is about these two kids, two boys in middle school. And then they also have a friend that's a girl as well. And they have, oh my God, like the first three episodes is just they hit it running. And the thing that I thought was the most eye opening is I don't want to ruin anything within the episode, but they have like this kind of like an imaginary friend that's called the hormone monster. and the hormone monster is like something in their ear going, tell that bitch to shut up. Like it's that kind of stuff.
Yes. Oh, that makes a lot of sense then. Because let me tell you, I mean, we go on any given day with Sonia, we go from, mommy, I just want to, can I hug you? I need a hug. I hate you, you stupid bitch. And I'm
really?
Just like, what is going on? Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, I remember being a lot the way she is now. I remember just, being so angry at my mom for really no reason half the time. It's following a similar pattern. And I'm definitely starting to see there's there's definitely times of the month when it gets worse.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I find phenomenally interesting, but I will never have to wrestle with, imagine. It's never going to be.
No, I get it times three, so that's going to be fun.
And I think what comes with the boys, what I'm looking forward to and why I desperately have to. There's a guy, and I wish I would have written down his name so I'd have it to top of mind, but it made me laugh very hard, is that there was a guy who donated some money to the show via Patreon because he's heard me talk about how I have to get a second bathroom added to this house because I cannot have my wife share a bathroom with it's not like she's going to have her own bathroom. I think that maybe that's the precedent I'm setting.
Yeah,
but no,
yeah.
I will definitely be a part of that room.
Right, exactly.
For whatever damage that does to my marriage. But I just feel like she can't share a bathroom with me and two teenage boys.
No, that would be bad.
There's going to be musk that's going to enter this house that no amount of essential oils can cleanse.
No, and it gets there pretty quickly. I mean, it does with the girls, but I know I've been around the boys her age sometimes too, and it's and they just don't care half the time.
They don't know.
No,
the pediatrician that comes on the show, and I told my son, I go, just so you know, when you turn 10, you're going to start wearing deodorant, because he says if you get them while they're 10 and make it part of the routine, you never have to wait for the stench to hit.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. And so. All right. Well, I've already gotten off track here, but let's do our usual questions to get to know you, Miss Christie.
Sure.
Do you have a hall pass list of celebrities? Who's your and are these approved by your husband?
I don't know that it's always a changing list depending on.
That's good. It's a living document, as they say.
Pretty much. Like I think at this point Chris Hemsworth is pretty much at the top of that.
Now
list.
What landed Chris Hemsworth? Was it Thor or was it pre-Thor?
I think it was pre-Thor.
I was trying to think of what has he done, because I feel like he didn't become known as a true sex pot, which I find very interesting until Thor. But
it might have been. I feel like there was something I saw him in before that. I love the Australian accent. So. That's what did it. And then he was on an episode of Saturday Night Live a couple years ago, and he was just – he killed. He's very funny.
I feel like he's got great comedy chops. It's as a guy who likes to make people laugh, I don't like that someone that sexy exists who can also make women laugh.
So
like
true.
That's – you just sort of
that's
supposed to
fair.
Stand there and look pretty, right? Like that's – that's too much. You're flying too close to the sun, Icarus. Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm trying to remember what movie it was in. I want to say it was like the – not the Joneses. There was the one where he was in his boxer briefs and just pointing out his immense hog.
Yes.
Like he kept,
What?
I want to say it was Jason Sudeikis. Oh, it's
was it
the
Vacation.
Yes, it was the new remake of
I
National Lampoon Vacation.
Yeah. It was so good. I loved him in that. That whole movie I really liked. I know it didn't do well in the theater, but I thought it was so good.
It was good for a reboot or whatever they call those now.
Yes.
All right. Any others besides Chris Hemsworth on the living document? Normally I stop at one, but I'm curious about the living document aspect of it.
John Bon Jovi's always been on there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Forever. And I don't think he'll ever fall off. Even as he gets older, I'm like, I don't care. I still like him. I don't care.
How old were you when you first fell in love?
Oh, I was probably 15, 16. Yeah.
There's something so great about being able to play music. And because I don't know that there are... I guess they do kind of have that today. What I look back at is that there was an era in the 80s where you would have a band and you had hair that was so effeminate. Like everything you were doing was
and
so.
I loved it.
And and chicks were like going nuts over it. And it's so funny because, guys, I think guys were like, I don't even know how to do that. It's not in my wiring. You know what I mean?
I know.
But now I guess we're getting closer to there's manscaping and, but I. One Direction not known for their masculinity, I guess, is what I'm really realizing.
No, and the little girls love them, too.
They love them, too. The higher the voices, the higher you can sing in pitch seems to be the more a teenage girl is into you.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Yeah, Poison was a big one for me in the 80s. I loved
Nobody
Bret
likes
Michaels.
A guy like Tom Jones anymore, you know what I mean?
No,
like, nobody wants to know what's new Pussycat.
No.
Like, gone are the days of the gold chain and the thick chest hair.
That's just not a thing anymore.
Dang it.
No.
All right. I don't know why I'm saying dang it. It's not like I have gold chain or thick chest hair. I don't know why. Or am I even on the market? What am I frustrated about?
What are you talking about?
All right. This is fun already so far. Are there any others? This is my other question. Has your husband ever attempted an Australian accent in a moment of passion?
I don't think he has. No, not definitely.
Can
not.
He pull it off, you think?
He might be able to. Yeah, he can. He probably could do an accent if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think it would be fun if I was to make a sitcom or sketch show about your life. I think after this conversation, we would smash cut to your husband pulling off some boxer briefs because he could and just doing a little thunder from down under.
I think I might have to ask for that.
Right. I'm just saying anniversaries happen and maybe you get a little thunder
from down under.
That's
not a bad idea. Yeah.
And it has Mental to culminate note. With him saying, that's not a knife. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And then it's on like Donkey Kong, as they say. All right, let's see. What's the next on the quest? Oh, what's the last movie you cried at? Now, I normally ask this of dads that are on the show because I like this because I cry at every movie.
Yeah,
basically.
I tend to do that, too. I've gotten a lot more emotional since having the girls. I would cry when I was younger, but it would be over stupid right. things, you know. But
the kids do make you emotional, right?
Yes. And I get emotional. Like, actually, we watched The Greatest Showman on Wednesday for Lana's birthday at her. No, on Saturday for her birthday party. And we saw it in theater back in December. And watching it again, it's something about the music and the emotional of it.
Speaking of which, you're a theater person. How does Hugh Jackman not even crack the top two on your
Hugh
list?
Hugh Jackman was on there Australian... at one point. He was on there at
He got
one
booted
point.
For Chris Hemsworth? That guy
probably.
Can't sing and dance.
That's true.
I mean, Hugh Jackman's still rocking abs. Yeah. He's pulling
yeah,
off.
You know, and after watching the movie this weekend, I was like, oh, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, we could go there.
So you were watching Greatest Showman, and is it the music? Is it or
yeah? It's usually the music scenes that just gets to me. I remember when I had taken the girls to see a movie, I think in November, and we saw a trailer for the Greatest Showman, and even during the trailer, I was like, oh my god. I had to go see that movie. And there was just something about just the music and the passion for it. And I know it's one of those movies that was not, it was sort of panned by the critics, but the audiences loved it. It was just a fun movie. It's as when we left, we went and saw it, and I was with a friend of mine. I took the girls, and a friend of mine came with us, and afterwards, and she was like, see, that's what I wanted La La Land to be. And I'm like, me too. Because I know everybody loved La La Land, but I sat there and went, all right. It's fine. I like that big, swelling music, the musical.
You want more of a musical, like a traditional musical movie, as opposed
100%,
to...
100%,
I mean, by nature, La La Land was about jazz, which I guess is supposed to be more subdued, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I mean, you know, I think part of the problem with La La Land for me was it was too built up by the time I had gone to see it. And I was like, it was fine.
All right. If you could have any job at all, what would you like for that job to be?
Well, I always wanted to act. That's what I moved out here for. And this is going to sound silly, but probably be a soap opera actress.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the you can go and do what you love, but you can still have a life.
Right.
Without
it's
people
a 9-to-5 acting job.
Yeah.
That's a good point by you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would totally be.
I've never heard people say that they. But you're right. You're absolutely. It is in the comedy world. It's wanting to write for a sitcom because if you can get on a sitcom, usually you're working like a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday regular gig,
right?
And could totally do that. Yeah. And it's just funny because you're. I'm going to sound like I'm kissing up to you, but you're a funny person, and so soap opera does not come to mind. Like you when you think of something. Yeah. But I could see that.
Yeah.
Are you into the soap operas? Did you ever do the quintessential mom thing?
Well, I've been watching.
Uh-oh.
All right. I've been watching General Hospital since I was 6. So full disclosure. And yes,
is that the one with Rick Springfield?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. And I said, well, it's funny actually because I know on Facebook at one point in time, I think your wife had said something like, who still watches soap operas? And I was kind of like,
guilty.
I do. So yes. And I mean, it's just, they're on my TiVo. When I work out, I'll pop one on. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm not sitting on the couch eating bonbons and watching. They're sort of like a background.
But don't
thing
you feel
me,
like I did that once? I literally went to, when I was a stay-at-home dad, because I wanted to know why is that the go-to, and I watched a romantic comedy and I ate bonbons on the couch and it was delightful. It was amazing.
I know.
So I'm just saying,
you could
do your workouts, but I'm just saying every once in a while, go just old school with some bonbons and just see what all the fuss is about, and maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised. And you know. I'm not saying everybody go down a dark path of doing it every day,
right?
Maybe
right.
That's a little, that gets a little sad. But why not give it a shot?
Yeah.
So you, even to this day, but do you appointment view or it's on your DVR, you said?
Oh, it's on the DVR. Yeah, yeah.
And how far back do you have to, because I feel like watching, is it an hour every day?
It's an hour. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
is that hard to keep up with?
Sometimes. It depends on what's going on. You know, you know, there's a lot going on. I don't have time to watch TV. Sometimes they get stacked up, and then you just fast forward and watch the people you feel like watching. And
see, I would be a person. That's funny. The stories that you want to follow. Yeah. I never thought of that either. Yeah. See, I would be a person who would poke fun at the soap opera, but I really liked Downton Abbey when it was on. I
never watched that one, but yeah.
Natalie says this about, although she can't get through the gore of The Walking Dead, but she's just kind of walked by. And my wife's theory is that Downton Abbey is a soap opera for snobs. and that Walking Dead is a soap opera for horror fans.
Like, yeah, I could see that.
Because it's super dramatic, all the storylines and everything. She goes, it's just a soap opera with zombies.
A lot of things are like that, though. There's a lot of shows that are kind of very soapy, but in a... Like, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but from what I understand, that is also
That's
super soapy. So.
The crisscross alone, like, I don't even know anybody's name. Like, I just know what they look like, mostly by their breasts. I feel like that's how I recognize them before their face.
Okay.
One of my favorite Game of Thrones bits was when it was first starting off and Andy Samberg was still on Saturday Night Live and he did that. He played like a 13-year-old boy. Who is co-writing for the Game of Thrones.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Basically what it was is that they had the author who was there and he would write a scene and he goes, and then I come in and I just spice things up. And he goes, you know what this is missing? It's boobs.
It's true.
And so he sets up extras to be banging in the background. Yeah. Naked and stuff while they're talking about something completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Oh, it made me laugh really hard. All right. What else do we have here? What do you want most for your kids?
This is very cliched, but I just want them to be happy,
right?
Happy in life. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much what we all want as parents. But in the same respect, I think us wanting our kids to be happy, sometimes we forget that they sometimes need to be sad.
Yes. Right.
I had this conversation with one of my friends recently because she just is always, as soon as one of her kids is upset, she tries to fix it. And her husband's like, don't always try to fix it. Sometimes you have to let them be sad. And it's true. But you don't, I mean, you hate when they're sad, but you have to go through those times to understand what it means to be happy.
And it's a new thing, right? I don't think our parents worried about. I mean, by no means were my parents neglectful, maybe by today's standards. I don't know. But it's interesting to me that you, because I have it too. And even though I'm a guy who will get up on a soapbox and say, listen, struggle is good. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. No, but you still.
Yeah. You're still there. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I hope he's not hurt.
Yeah.
Poor, his poor little spirit.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Because I know, like, especially my older one, I know he's going to have his heart. Both of them will have their heart broken.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but that's something that I know he's got to go through.
Yep.
And there's a big part of me that wants to protect him from it.
Yep.
Why, I don't know. But
I know, because you know how it feels and you don't want them to go through that because you know how you feel when things like that affect you and how much that hurts. But yeah, I mean, it's important for them to go through those kinds of things.
Do you ever look for opportunities to manufacture sadness in your kids? like in a form of playful torture is what I'm going for here.
Maybe when they're driving me crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Timer. Ooh.
I imagine going like a preteen. Too. Like that's easy to get into the torture area or no?
You think you're going to the mall today? You're
not. No. Guess what?
Yeah.
I did it just yesterday. My wife, she works at a credit union and she went to do this event and they had Nerf like footballs that were all logoed out with the credit union for some reason. And so, I guess at the Rose Bowl, that makes sense now. But anyway, she got each of the kids a football. And so then they came home and then they're playing with it in the backyard. And then one of them came in and said, Jacob won't give me my football back. Yeah. And he said, I know that it's mine because it has the little mark, but it wasn't a mark they put on it. And these are two identical sponge footballs. And then I said, well, go tell him I told him to give you yours back.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I told him to give. I go, yeah, but now tell him that I said
exactly.
to do it. And then Jacob came in after that and goes, do you know why I wouldn't give it back to him? And then Jack comes in behind him. And so now they're both there with both footballs. I said, give me the footballs. And I go, and I put him next to me on the couch, and I said, all right, go find something else.
Yeah.
And they, look at me like, what? And I said, listen, these are two identical footballs. You morons are deciding to fight over something so stupid. Now you have to learn the lesson the hard way, and you don't get to play with it. Yeah. You've already, and that, not to mention the fact, I'm pretty sure they have 8 footballs somewhere on this lot of land we have.
Yeah.
Like, it's asinine and crazy. I don't understand it.
No, that sounds a lot like what we go through at my house too. There's a lot of, all right, she won't let me have it. She won't let me have it. Let me have it. Let me have it.
Do
no,
they do this?
You're just going to give it to her. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'll just put it up on the shelf. Nobody gets it now.
Are they sharing clothes? Is that a thing? I'm sorry if I'm so stereotypical. But.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's funny because they're girls. They're different. And when I was listening earlier to when you had Matt on, my PTA husband.
Yes.
And you talked about how, because he is a girl, and you said, you know, you don't have a lot of people, you've got more boy heavy.
Yes.
On this show. Which, so no, I mean, it's funny people say, oh, stereotypical, but it's just the way that there's a reason you say that, because girls are what they are and boys are what they are. And girls are all about clothes, a lot of them. Not all, but mine definitely.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what would be points of conflict for daughters. And that's my stupid brain goes to.
No. And it is. So you're not wrong. My oldest, fortunately for her, is, you know, probably about 7 inches taller than the other two at this point. Yeah. They'll eventually catch up, maybe. But she's actually just about my height now. But the other two are almost their exact same height, and they're 15 months apart. And that's actually the whole them being the same height is a point of contention with my middle one, because she doesn't like that her younger sister is.
Yeah.
She's about an inch taller than her at this point. And in pictures when they're standing next to each other, now she's standing on her tippy toes. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's caused like major fights. she can't be taller than me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? But they, because they share a room and they pretty much have all the same clothes. So they do fight over clothes. There's clothes that we have gotten that, you know, when we've gone shopping, that's just for both of them. And then there's clothes that, I got this shirt for my birthday, or I went shopping with a gift card I got, so this is specifically for me. And Lana, the middle one, is definitely more controlling about her clothes. Like Georgia, she's okay, you can wear that, that's fine. But Lana, Georgia will come out, can I wear this? No. Georgia will come back, how about this? No. I'm like, Lana, you can't tell her no to everything.
But in 15 months... Well, I guess there's enough of a difference, because here's what my mind goes to. My mind goes to that if I'm the little one, all I've known is a life of two other girls in the house, right?
Yes. Yep.
But if I'm the middle one, there was a moment in time where it was all about me. All those sweet, sweet moments.
It was a very short moment. I don't know if she remembers it.
That's
but
what
yes.
I'm saying. Yeah. But I can't buy in 15 months that hits her, right? No. But if there's constantly this thing of because she's a little bit younger, like I think they think it more than it actually happens.
Yes.
That's what I've noticed is that everybody thinks that they're being treated unfair.
Yes.
So I'm constantly in my house whenever the question I hate the most is like, how much did he get?
Yep.
And my answer is always more.
Hers is bigger.
Yeah. I just always, how come he got that many jelly beans? Because I love him more. Yeah, I tell it every time. Just hopefully so that they can understand how stupid the question is. Like because the amount of calories that I burn making, okay, do they have the right amount?
I know.
The amount of times I've had to go to a fucking McDonald's and say, I need, because when the older one got so big, he a little 6-piece Happy Meal wasn't enough food for his growing ass. So I would get him a 10-piece nugget meal like a grown man, but then he still wanted the dollar toy.
Yeah.
And then I go, I need a 6-piece nugget Happy Meal, and then I need the 10-piece meal, but I need to buy an extra toy, and can you please make sure the toys are the same?
Because you can't have different toys, because then that causes
a fight. Yes. Then I become like a snake eating itself, where I'm a guy who says, like, struggle's good, but I'm like, but not when it's about bullshit China-made toys from McDonald's.
Well, because you don't want to deal with it then, because you know in your head you're like, this toy is awesome and this one is shit. So where is this gonna go? Where is this gonna go with the two of them? Because then you're just like, oh, they're gonna fight. They're gonna. I'm just gonna throw both of them away and just pretend like we got no toys at all.
What I should have done is pop popcorn and watch back and look at the stupid fight and just laugh at it, because I never thought of it. You're right. Is that I never even bothered to do the math on there being a cooler McDonald's toy, because when you hit your mid-30s, they all become crap.
Yeah, and they eventually end up in a garage sale pile. Anyway,
exactly.
So.
The fact that they even end up in a garage sale pile today, I don't know if, and I wonder if our kids would say the same thing, but I feel like our McDonald's Happy Meal toys were more substantial.
Oh,
like they felt
definitely.
More toy-esque.
Well, don't you remember you used to be able to get glasses at McDonald's?
Yes.
We still have some. Back in the 80s, I think, they had Garfield glass mugs, and my husband's got 4 of them that we still have to this day.
Is the paint still on them, or is it rolling
off? It's all still on there.
That's what I'm talking about.
They weren't Happy Meals. I think it was one of those, if you buy something, you can get this for a dollar kind of thing. But they did have stuff like that. And the toys in general, I think, were better. But now it's just like plastic shit that breaks in a minute. So
all right, last question, and then we'll move on. Is last argument you had with your spouse? Whatever the most recent one is so that you can think
of. I think it wasn't really an
argument.
Unless
it's about something really serious.
No, I'm trying to think. It wasn't it wasn't really an argument. Well, it was kind of an argument. Yeah, we're going to Boston, New York, and Rhode Island this summer. His brother lives in Rhode Island. So we decided to, let's make it a whole thing. We'll go to New York City for a couple days, Boston for a couple days. And I'm trying to get his tickets to go to Fenway Park because he grew up a huge Red Sox fan. I became a Red Sox fan when I lived in Boston because you kind of have to when you live there for more than a minute.
You lived there for college, right?
Yes.
You went to school there.
Yes,
okay.
I went to school there. And so I'm all excited. We're going to take the kids to Fenway Park. They've never been. And I had asked him last week. I was looking online at tickets, and I'm like, "What about these tickets?" And he said, "Well, what about the box seats?" And I said, "Well, the box seats are like $50 more a piece." And he's like, "Well, maybe those other ones are okay." And I said, "Well, what? But there's different box seats." I'm like, "Well, which box seats are you?" And this is all through text. And then he kind of stopped answering me, and I figured he's at work, he's busy, he can't handle this right now. Fine. See, because I'm of the mindset I want to get the tickets. I want to get everything checked off my list so I can be done planning this trip.
Right.
And so then last night. But it was, we were about to go to bed, and I said, wait, before you, I'm like, look at this, look at where these seats, because it shows you where the seats are. And he's like, ugh. And he's been sick, and he didn't feel like dealing with it. So he's like, it's fine. And then he was like, well, maybe I'll ask my dad and see if he, because his dad used to have season's tickets. He's like, let me see if my dad knows anybody. And I was like, and I said, all right. He goes, I told you to get those other ones. I said, I know, but you said box. I just want you to know there's other box. No, it's fine. Just get those other ones. And I'm like, oh, fine. It just became this like between the two of us. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to bed. I'm not doing this right now. So, yeah. So it's just one of those.
It's my favorite question on the list. I hope other people feel the same way because I am never not fascinated by another person's marital spat.
Yeah.
Like I'm never have I not found it incredibly funny. Just because it's so much more fun when you're not a part of it, I imagine.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because now it seems like you're at least...
Well, looking back on it to last night, it's like, all right, fine, I get it. He was like, I don't want to deal with this now. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. And I'm just like, I want to get this checked off my list.
Right,
you know?
Right. Because this is what I think it all boils down to. It all boils down to this idea that you spend so much of your life, especially when kids become a part of the picture, as taking care of someone else's needs, right?
Oh,
like everything. And that includes your spouse, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens is that then when you want something back and then they're not giving it to you, right? And in his case, he just wants to check out for a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so if it's that, then it elevates everything. Everything becomes heightened because now because he just won't tell you what kind of tickets to get.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, now, you motherfucker.
Yeah. I just want to do this one thing. Yeah.
Do you know how many things I did for you today?
Yeah, exactly.
The last 2 hours. Do you know how much I did for you the last 2 hours?
I did the laundry. I made dinner.
That's so great. That's so good. All right, let's take a quick. Oh, let's do this too. Let's. Mm-hmm. I got to get my phone. I'm very not good at this. I gotta get my phone so I can get my little wheel thing here so that we can spin it. Let's see here. Let's see what we're gonna talk about in the next segment. We're gonna do timeout, which I was going through the list with Christy earlier and I didn't know what it was. But here's what I think it is. What I think it is we could talk about what would be a perfect like Zen a moment. Oh, wait, no. Well, we'll do either one of these.
Okay.
Or any three of them. I'll give you three options.
All right.
We could do what would be a nice Zen moment, like paint a picture. We could each talk about what would be a perfect state for us to be in. Or we could talk about the last time you had to take a parental timeout, like where you had to, like, I think where the genesis of this is, and I should keep better notes on these, is that my father would send me to my room, and I used to think it was to punish me, but it was more so he could calm down so he didn't beat the hell out of me, right? Kind of a thing.
Yep.
Or we could make it what I thought it was when we first started talking, which is closer to the date night thing where we could just shoot the shit. It's up to you. What would you rather do?
I can talk about my last parental timeout because that was most recently.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll do that right after these messages.
All right.
So nobody listening knows why that is funny to me and Christy, but Christy's daughters and another one of their friends did this song during the variety show that Christy put together for the elementary school that our kids go to. And it was by far one of the best highlights of the show for me was watching your daughter go, and Peggy. I'd never seen Hamilton. I wrote a parody song for Bill Handel.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, for the I think it's the Aaron Burr song or something like that, where how does a blah blah da da blah blah blah, blah come from the top?
So
what I did was I made that about Bill Handel and called him an immigrant Jew, come from Brazil, didn't speak English and doesn't still like. So I made a rap, and it was great because the three of us would rap these serious parts, and then when he said when he came out, my name is William Wolf Handleton is his real William Wolf Handel is his name.
Okay,
and we got a full like colonial outfit for him to wear, so he just stepped out and sang horribly. I'm William Wolf Handleton. So that's why we play that song. So you have a parental timeout to talk about what happened in your life, and then I'll share one from mine.
Yeah, it actually just happened recently. It was spring break this past week, and like we said at the beginning, I was like, woohoo, I'm gonna be the most awesome parent. We're gonna do all these fun things, and then by the end of the week, it just sort of crumbles into a pile, and you're like, is it Monday yet? meanwhile, they're all going, I don't want it to be Monday, and I'm just like, Oh, that's too bad.
I wish we all felt that way.
I know. So I think it was, I want to say it was the day where we stayed home and it rained all day, which was Thursday. And, you know, I had this idea, we're going to watch movies and then maybe we'll do this and maybe we'll bake cookies. You know, we're going to do all these great things. And probably I try to work out at least six times a week. So I have videos at home and stuff that I'll do back in my bedroom. And they had a list of chores to do, which they just, they have a fit every time. I'm like, do your list of chores. And they're like, no. So they were supposed to be doing their chores. I'm going to go work out. You guys do your chores. Then we'll do something fun after this. Right. And I have no idea even what happened or how it started. But the next thing I know, you know, I've got two of them on the ground wrestling, the other one yelling at them.
Really?
To stop. Oh, yeah.
Like fisticuffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They take karate, which a few years ago, my husband was like, they should take karate. It's good. They're little girls. You know, it would be good for them. Now looking back on it, I think we just taught them to fight each other better. So that's good.
Do they tap out when they wrestle?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
I love it.
So they were on the ground. My 13-year-old and my now 11-year-old, and they were in my 9-year-old.
So that's oldest and middle.
Yeah.
All right.
And my 9-year-old standing there going, stop it. And I was just kind of at that point where I'm like, I'm just going to watch this and see where it goes, because sometimes you just can't do it.
There's got to be an alpha.
Yes. And so I was standing there for a while, and they just didn't stop. And then they got up, and my oldest was mad, and she's like storming off to her room, something happened, and I just snapped. And mommy yells a lot at home, so they don't really care anymore for the most part. But every once in a while, I guess it's a certain way I yell. I was like, that's it. I'm done with
you. You got to throw a curse word in? I got to throw a curse word in every now and then.
You throw in the fuck, and then that's really like, she means business. And so I was like, I'm going. I don't care what you guys do. I'm going to my room. I'm working out. You guys have your list to do. If you do it, maybe we'll do something fun. Otherwise, you can just do this all day for all I care. And I just went back to my room, slammed the door. And I was back there probably, I don't know, for like 35, 40 minutes-ish. And I don't hear them anymore, like, fighting. So I'm like, well, that's good. They've either stopped fighting or they've killed each other, whichever.
Win-win.
It's fine. So all of a sudden, I hear them, like, walking back the hallway. And then they kind of open the door, and the three of them are, like, standing arm in arm together. And they're like, we're sorry, and we love you, Mommy. I was like, oh, wow, maybe the parent timeout is really, like, that's what I just needed.
We've been doing it wrong this whole time.
I think so.
Nanny 911 was wrong.
Right. I needed to take myself out of the situation. Yeah. And they figured it out after that. And sometimes I realize that is because my oldest is 13, I leave them home a lot more. Like, if I've got meetings and stuff at night, they will be home by themselves for a couple hours. And usually I come home and everything's been done that I've asked them to do, and they're doing okay. And then, you know, then little things will happen, like, why is that picture off the wall? Oh, well, Lana got a little mad and went to, I'm like, so we did have a fight somewhere along the way. But, you know, they work it out. They tend to work it out better when we're not there, actually.
See, we've had some kind of philosophical conversations and even texts about this very idea, is that it's interesting. I don't know if you notice it, if the dynamic even shifts when your husband, like, comes into the picture.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like both Natalie and I have had moments where the kids are so delightful If you have them just one-on-one.
Yes.
Right? That's
yes.
super fantastic.
Yes.
Or if sometimes it's the odds are still good if it's just one parent and both kids, but and both of us have experienced this. But when you get both parents into the picture yeah. and both kids in our situation, things escalate for no reason. And so weirdly enough, by you being removed from it, it allows them. I recently she was going to be on the show, but now she can't. She stopped doing interviews. But I read this book called Achtung Baby.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of it?
I think
you and
maybe,
I were talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I think I'm
like,
what's
I've
maybe
heard of it. Okay.
Is that she's an American mom who had to move to Germany because her husband got a job for a company out
okay.
there. And so she talks about the differences in German parenting. And German parenting is very much what you are describing. It's very much like they got to work it out. Like in
yep.
preschool, the adults don't get involved in conflict with kids unless they actually strike each other.
Right.
There's no rules for the playground. The kids kind of govern themselves because they
so the
want them.
The opposite of peaceful playground.
Right. Yes, yes. Which is a thing we have at our school.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that they want them to do free play, which is the opposite of peaceful playground.
Yes.
So to give everybody background on this is that one of the things that our PTA provides for the school is a person who comes by and teaches the kids like a game. And then this game becomes the game that they play for like, what is it, a month or two?
I think they can play different games. Yeah, but I think there's one that they teach and then, but there's other ones that they already know. Yeah.
So it just adds to it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
basically.
And the idea being is that if you structure the play as opposed to having free play, there is less conflict.
Right.
Which
correct.
Is great if you are the person managing the conflict.
Right.
Right, but.
Not great if you're the kid wanting to go out there and just play.
Right. Yeah. And not want to play Foursquare or Jailbreak
right.
or whatever it is, the game that everybody
exactly.
has to play. And then what I find very interesting too, which is I don't think necessarily something that the school or the peaceful playground has done wrong, but it's that what comes of this is that everybody has to play. So if somebody comes up and you want to play with them and they say, no, I don't want to play with you. My son goes, one day he came home from school. I think he was in first grade, I want to say. And I said, how was your day? He goes, oh, I was bullied today. And I go, what? What happened? Like what? He goes, oh, I want to play a game. And so-and-so said, no, they didn't want to play with me. And I said, well, that's not being bullied.
No.
That's just somebody who didn't want to play with you.
Yeah.
Like that's not. And he was like, no, you have to play with everybody. You can't. And I, here's the thing. I get the idea of not wanting anybody to be excluded. Right.
Yes.
But at a certain point, you're asking for problems. One of the reasons why I took my son to the preschool that we went to is because they told me that they said, well, has he ever been to school before? And I said, no, this is his first time. And she said, okay, well, just so you know, kids, when they first come to school, they kind of think everything is about them. They don't understand that there are other kids. She said, for instance, we had a kid who was new to school, never been to school, and he kept following one of the other students around. And the student said, hey, stop following me. Leave me alone. And he didn't listen. So the kid punched him.
Oh.
And so the parents got upset and said, I wanted a letter of apology from the parents. I want this kid to be suspended. And she goes, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
She said, nobody's going to apologize. She said, we talked to the boys. We said we don't hit. And she said, but in the other kid's defense, he did use his words. Your kid decided not to listen.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
I go, even if my kid's getting popped, I think I could support this philosophy.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm all right with that. But yeah, it is. I remember even as a kid myself, and I had an older stepbrother who was constantly picking on me or whatever. And the only time that I was thankful to have my mom intervene was one time I guess I'd done something to push his buttons. But he literally had me dangling above the toilet to give me a swirly.
Oh, my.
And thank goodness the architect that designed our house, when my mom walked to the door and looked down the hallway, she could see. And she goes, put him down right now. And my favorite part of this moment was, and not in the toilet.
Yes, because,
you have to be clear.
Yep, to be clear.
And he was like 14 or 15 at the time. I mean,
oh,
come on,
goodness.
Man. I was seven. Come on.
That's great. There you go. Yeah. That's awesome.
I had a recently where I snapped. It was, I don't know if you experienced the same thing. I feel like as the kids get older, this becomes easier, but I can't seem to be able to watch a movie or a television show with my wife. Like it doesn't, that part of my life seems to have left because when it happens, when there's a movie or a television show that we want to watch, it seems to be something that they don't want to watch.
Right.
And my wife has the phrase, two rooms and a hallway, which means you go into that area of the house then. But then it's now they're playing on their laptops this math game, which you would think is great. But they're screaming at each other from their rooms, which makes it hard to hear the dialogue. And I've been working on this fort during the day.
Right.
Oh, now that just reminded me of two moments. So I'll share two moments right now. So I was working on the floor, and then I hit pause, and I just yell. I go, "Hey, shut up! Just shut up! I just want to watch a movie and need you to shut up." And then it's just silence in the house. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but to be honest, that would not be qualified as a moment of abuse in my house.
No.
My kids would be like, oh, geez.
No, we've had those yelling. My husband's probably yelled at them to shut up like that a time or two. But see, they listen to him. Like, I say that, and it's like, did something happen? Did mom say something? And he does it, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's different.
We gotta be quiet now.
It is a little different. And it's fun now because Natalie and I have kind of reversed roles. And I've said this before on the show, but I really am enjoying getting this Freaky Friday experience with her where I was the one who was home all the time.
Right.
And then there would be lots of conversations. I just, you know, you're yelling. There's a lot of yelling in the house. And then now she snaps on a regular.
Yeah.
Just like, this is what's for breakfast.
Yes.
Like she made biscuits for him. And they go, I don't want biscuits. She's like, that's okay. You can have it for breakfast tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, I've never been more in love with you than this one. There's a Tupperware in our kitchen that has two halves of a biscuit with jelly and butter on it, just waiting for their asses to see it the next morning.
You're going to eat it at some point.
Like they're in prison. It's so funny to me.
That's great.
So then the other moment I snapped too was I am building this fort. This is what reminded me of it, is that I actually brought the fort up, which is so funny. I'm doing this thing that's supposed to be a kindness to my kids, but because I'm a flawed person by nature, somehow I use it as a guilt trip, like I'm an old school Catholic mom.
I'm not going to finish the fort. That's it. You guys get no. I'm going to take an axe to it. Just wait.
So, my buddy bought me this video game that I have not had time to play, and they have. My sons have been playing this game, and so whenever I do pick it up, they've gotten farther in the story of the game than me.
Okay.
And so, like watching a movie with them, they have to ruin everything. And I know that I should be mature enough at 39 to be able to go, who cares that I don't know what the plot line is to this ancient Egypt assassin game or whatever, right? Who fucking cares? To me, it's so stupid. I know it, but it's the principle.
Yeah.
So I was like, I tell him, I go, oh, yeah, I remember this. You got to go over here. Like, he'll tell me, Dad, you missed that. I go, just shut up. Just shut up. I'm doing the shut up thing. And then he goes, okay, sorry. And so then they're in there. And then he ruins some kind of like a story element. And I snapped again. And I said, you know what I do all day? You know what I did all day today? I built that fort. You think I built that fort for me? You think that's fun for me? No, I'm not I'm building that so you have something to do. And while I'm out there building the fort for you, you're in here playing my game. And then when I come in, I just want to sit and play the game on my PlayStation, my television, in my house. You have the audacity to tell me, even though I ask you multiple times, just quiet. Just be quiet. Let me enjoy the game. Yeah. Let me enjoy. I'm a 39-year-old man yelling at my night.
That's how we do it. I know. Oh, yeah.
We're living the dream, Chrissy.
Oh, yeah,
we're living
I know. The. No. I'm fairly certain that I've flipped out over, you know, something like green beans before. I made those green beans. You're gonna eat them.
Before we keep talking, I'm gonna interrupt because I got a sponsor here that I think everybody should do. And you let me know what you think of this, Chrissy. I don't think you've ever heard of this place, but I'm hoping that you have. But it's called Sun Baskets now. What Sun Baskets is it's like with these meal services, right? So you pick whatever 2-3 items you want. But what makes them different is that all of their food is organic or comes from sustainable farms. All of it is like super duper healthy stuff. Now, I'm not a big hippy dippy guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, we do the organic, because of that whole nutritionist thing I went through, blah, blah, blah. But what I like about this is that it gives me an opportunity to shake up the food that I'm cooking around the house. And I know that at least 3 meals a week that my kids are going to eat something healthy. And I'm not going to sit here and say the kids have loved every meal that we've had so far, but they have surprised me. They have surprised me. Like I made a coconut curry, it was like a Korean soup.
Mm.
And that was really good. And the kids tasted it. They said, I liked it, but they didn't want it. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's the usual, like they did a steak. There was a top sirloin that was grilled. And then you had these sweet potatoes with like a harissa seasoning. That was really good. Kids love that.
Yeah.
Devoured it. And then there's the times that they've surprised me with there was a recently did a tempura shrimp that they both loved. There was some salmon that they loved. So It's something that you could get. You know they like it. They have tons of options. You can get vegetarian. You can get vegan. You could do gluten-free. They have paleo, lean and clean, Mediterranean.
Wow.
They have all of these options. Like, you tell them what you're kind of, even with my specific diet, they still had something that worked for everything I could eat. And on top of all that, they even have like a family kid meal. So if you're like, I want my kid to have some mac and cheese or whatever, like, or, and it doesn't, I don't care that it's, I want to make it from scratch or something. Like, I'm just saying that I haven't seen it, but they have more kid friendly options that are available. So here's what you do. You go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast and $35 off your first order. That is sunbasket.com/dadpodcast for $35 off your first order. One more time, sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. And the link is in the description of this episode here.
I might have to do that today.
Yeah,
I always look for new recipes and things to make. We get stuck in a rut sometimes.
It's easy. And that's the thing, is that I'm the guy who does a lot of the cooking. And I've said this before. The unintended consequence of this is that I've learned a thing or two about cooking. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention this. It has, while you're making the recipe, they do a really good job of like walking you through the steps and then saying, while this is happening, prepare this.
Yeah.
So if you read the whole thing and it all fits on a page, it's really quick and easy. And all of the meals are like 45 minutes tops.
Yeah,
but there's even a little corner that says, here are the things the kids can do. And that's what I've seen. And now the big thing that's come out of this is that my kids are learning to cook meals on their own.
Yes.
So I taught
them.
That's
the dream right
there. It wasn't a Sunbasket thing, but I taught them to make pancakes the other day, was another. I had a couple of moments of parental timeout during that. It's more of like, I just told you. They don't listen.
I went through this at Thanksgiving time. I was having the girls help me make Thanksgiving, all the sides and stuff the day before Thanksgiving, pies, everything. And my oldest, who, you know, she thinks she's going to do all the baking and do all the stuff. So we were making the pie crust from scratch. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but she went to put, I was like, all right, don't put that in the, don't put it in the pie plate yet. It wasn't ready yet. And I turn around and I see her putting. I'm like, no, because it wasn't like rolled out all the way. It wasn't ready in any way, shape, or form. So I'm peeling it out, and she's like, what? I said, I just told you not to do that. And she's like, what? No. I'm like, yeah, Glenn, listen to me. I mean, the whole thing had to be scrapped.
Here's the thing. Even though I know you, and I've been doing this show a long time, and I know that you're not going to sit here and go, wow, I just want to dick those kids.
No.
I don't think that at all. But here's the thing. There is a moment, there is that part of me that feels like guilty, because you want these moments to be nice and magical.
Yes.
And they very rarely, if ever, seem to turn out that way.
They don't.
And so what is that?
I don't know.
Right? You can't really spend too much time thinking about it.
No. I mean, everything you do. At some point you're like, every once in a while you do have those moments where you're like, I am winning at this parenting thing. Like, a couple years ago, we took the girls up to Running Springs and did snow tubing. And it was like on a whim. I think it was during Christmas break. And we had the best day. It was like, oh my God, we just had so much fun. Everybody was laughing, happy. And it was just fantastic. And, you know, when you have those days and those moments, you're just like, I need to remember this and hold on to this. Right. 'Cause like, nobody fought. Everybody was happy. And you're like, this is a family winning situation.
What's the secret then to that? Is it that in that situation? 'Cause I've had those too, and I'm trying to find a through line that we could all use as a recipe.
But
is it the expectation? Is it that when I make breakfast for my kids, my expectations that I want to teach them, right?
Right.
And there was a lot of things, like when they cracked eggs, like we made pancakes from scratch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they were cracking eggs, and I had a plan in place where I'm like, we're going to do it separate from the mix,
yes,
so that if it
always
falls in the bowl and we get shells, like, it's okay.
Scoop it up.
And they each like practice, because they wanted to learn scrambled eggs. So I was, I'd had that. If we had one that didn't go so well either, I could put it aside, and they got some practice at doing it. And I never lost my cool because they couldn't crack an egg. Like, the younger one who's six got upset because it wasn't going as well as he would like. I said, dude, you've never done it before. So I'm aware of that. But it is that thing where it's like, okay, you got to be careful and do it. There was a moment where he's flipping bacon on a frying pan, and I say, you grab the end with the tongs and you lift, and then you set this end, and then you just kind of lay it down. And I showed it, and then I would do it with him where I'm holding his hand, and then now he's doing it on his own. And then he did it fine once, and then he does it again, and now he's grabbing in the middle, and he's trying to like flop it around, and grease is flying everywhere. And I just scream. I'm like, I said the end. Where did I say the middle?
Yeah,
where did I say the middle? You grab the end. And Natalie, who normally will make the breakfast now, she's getting to sleep in, so she's just hanging out. And she did this great thing where she came in after breakfast was almost done. And by the way, it took us an hour and 15 minutes to make breakfast.
Well, yeah, when you're making it with two kids.
Right. Yes. And so she came in and she was like, she said, she said, you all right? Which never has so much been said with two words, right?
Yeah.
Like
you're. Yeah.
And then I do the super condescending. Yeah, like no, I'm not doing this as a bit. I'm like, yeah, why? Why would you ask?
Why wouldn't I be?
Why wouldn't I be fine? Like acting like everything just went like a trip snow tubing.
Like she can't hear you the 20 feet away she is in the bedroom.
But is it? Do you think it's that? Do you think it's that when I'm making a breakfast or you're making Thanksgiving dinner that there's an expectation of the experience?
Oh, absolutely.
And then when you just go snow tubing and the bar is set so low, then it's easy to hit, and maybe we don't notice, because I don't know if I've said this on this show, but I recently discovered. No, I had to have. It was the Parenting Myths episode with Dr. J, where they did the New England Journal of Medicine did a study, and they found that kids eating sugar even later on in the day does not actually affect their behavior. But what it does do is it makes parents more sensitive to their behavior.
Oh, that
because
makes sense.
So it has almost like a reverse placebo effect on the parents when a kid eats sugar, but it doesn't really change.
I know
the
you
kid.
Ate sugar, and that's why you're acting like this. Right. That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So I wonder if there is that thing where if we could all just treat every it's impossible to do. That's such an impossible, lofty thing to do. But if we could treat everything like a snow tubing day, the bar is low.
Well, yeah, because most of the time you've got this whole idea in your head of we're going to do this, and it's going to be this grand time. And we're gonna make things together, and it's gonna be so much fun. And you know, cut to 2 hours later, there's flour everywhere, everybody's screaming and crying, and you know, it's just and I've learned kind of and my oldest is starting to learn that too, because she really has been trying to bake, and she gets very she's a perfectionist, and she's everything's always come very easily to her. She's very smart, gets, you know, she's reading at three, like just your typical oldest, basically.
So when things become a problem, then it's a bigger,
she melts into a puddle.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever she's tried baking or doing something that doesn't come out exactly like it did in the, because let's be interested, in Pinterest or any of those things, they're going to, you're like, it's never going to look like that.
Yeah, don't.
So don't.
Lower the bar.
Exactly.
So, maybe after 18 tries.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even then. But so she gets very, you know, upset and hard on herself. I can't do this. And I'm just, you know, so she has that too, where she's got this idea in her head of the way things are going to be. But she's starting to learn, like when she does something, she's like, you know, I'm like, this is the first time. I know it's probably not going to turn out the right way. Yeah. I'm like, that's good. Put it down here. Put the bar nice and low. That way it's easier to...
Keep it low. Keep it low. Exactly. All right, let's take another quick break, and we'll come back and do a little moment of the week.
All right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
All right, Miss Christie, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first. Well, I had, you know, a couple things this week. I went hiking with my oldest and my middle. My youngest one was at her friend's house. She had spent the night, and I said, "You want to go hiking with us?" "No." "All right, fine. I won't pick you up then. I'll pick you up after hiking." So we went hiking, but we tried to go where we usually go, and they were doing some work over like the nature center over here in Burbank, and so we had to find another one, which was just around the corner, so it was fine. But it was actually a little bit more of a strenuous hike, and you know, and especially with there was more. More narrow paths, and also more steep paths, and there was a couple times they were like, "Oh," and I said, no, you can do it. We're gonna do this. I hope nobody falls off the cliff. And then we get to this one part, and it was it was the highest point of where we'd been, and you could see just a little over. There was another high point, and as we got there, I said, "Look, guys, we did this. See, you can do it." And they're like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "And you want to go that way? No, we're good." So I'm like, "Okay," but they were like, "That was great. We loved that hike," and it was one of those.
It was the three of you.
Yeah, so it's just the three of us, and it's good that my younger one wasn't there because she tends to get more nervous about it. Mm. You know, I don't.
But that's good, right? Yeah. I feel like that's important. I only have two, so it's easier, I think, to make those moments happen. But I think it's nice when you have multiple kids to try and have one-on-one or even, you know, shake it up is what I'm really trying to say, right?
Yeah, we try to. Once upon a time, we had this idea that, you know, once a month we're going to take one of them out and go do something by themselves. Yeah, that doesn't happen. You run out of time, and when are you going to do all
that bar
stuff?
Again. You set the bar, and it's hard to hit the bar, but so, if you keep it low, maybe once or twice a year.
Exactly. Like birthdays. So we try to do what we can, you know, because it is important for them to get out and do stuff on their own and without just taking one kid out of the mix tends to make it like they don't fight as much. They get along better. It's weird. It's like, and then you start to go, maybe I should have had only two children. Why did I have another one? But it's funny because I feel like no matter how many you have, you just take the one kid away and it's always
easier. Yeah. Well, it's just by nature. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then the other thing I had this actually just happened last night, and this, which is kind of funny. So we were having this conversation at dinner. We try to have our dinner together on the weekend because we don't really get to during the week because Andy works until late. And so we were, I don't know how it got brought up. Something about, we have lovely topics at dinner. Something about the Armenian genocide and the way people were killed. My husband's Armenian, and so it got brought up. I think Georgia brought it up. My youngest brought it up.
This was a dinner he was at, though.
Yeah. Okay. Something about the way people, you know, because she's heard stories, and my Andy's grandfather actually came from Armenia, and his whole family.
Oh,
was
wow.
Killed. Yeah, it's a whole. He's passed away, but his mom had gotten information, trying to write a book and everything about it. It's really sad and. But interesting, like how things were 100 years ago.
I have little to no perspective on this, but the one thing I do know is it seems to be like the most underrated tragedy in history.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, and completely swept under the rug.
Yes,
and
100%. I mean, and he was telling us, and so this was the conversation we were having. He was telling us like some of the ways they killed kids. And I was like, what? I'm like, who does that? Yeah. And he was just like, well, you know, it was 100 years. I'm like, I don't care. Like as a human being, as an adult, how do you kill a child or do something like that to a child? And then he said, well, you know, there's things that still go on in places like Africa. And I said, well, yeah. And the girls were like what? Now they want to know what's the macabre, awful stuff that's happening around the world. And I said, well, you know, there's the mutilation of girls in Africa. And I said, well, in some parts of Africa, you know, they take the girls and when they're young, they cut off part of their vagina. And my two older ones were like, whoa, Mike, that's awful. Why would they do that? And my younger one just stops and goes, what? No, I would rather just be dead than to have them cut off my vagina. And in that moment, we're just sitting there. We just started laughing because this is just the way my family deals with this kind of stuff. We just make jokes and laugh about it. And she goes, no way. I just kill me. I don't want to live without my vagina, which to me, in the one hand, I'm like, well, that's something that maybe a 25-year-old man's going to say, right? So she's going, no way, I'm living without my vagina. Right. And then I just look over at my husband and he goes, she hasn't even gotten to the good part yet. But we sat there and laughed for like a good 5 minutes at the table.
Great.
Just tears. And she just tends to be, in our family, she's the one that she makes the jokes. And sometimes not even meaning to.
Yeah.
But it was just that moment when they went to bed last night and we brought it up again and the two of us just sat on the couch and laughed about it. Because she's like, no, I am not living without my vagina.
That is hilarious. Oh, that is great. Mine happened through a moment of my stupidity. I get what my wife likes to call wild hairs up my ass.
Oh, yeah.
To do stuff. And recently, because we've had the rain, it heightened it for me like it does everybody. Mm-hmm. Is that I realized that the tires in our car, they need a new tread. Like they were getting kind of low.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the idea of Natalie driving around. I know it sounds super chauvinistic, but I didn't like the idea of her driving around on a car that didn't have really good tread and stuff. So I was like, all right, so I had an appearance down in like basically an hour away from home. And while I was at the appearance, I had the cars, the tires changed in the minivan. And then I came back up and I was like, oh, I could get the Camry, our other car, done at, in the same day. Like, this will be perfect. And Natalie had another event she had to go to as soon as I got home. So I said, here's the thing. Are you good? I go, I'll be back here in like maybe 20 minutes or something like that. And she was like, yeah, no, that's fine. So I go and I drop it off. But she didn't know what I was doing. So I call her. I say, hey, why don't you go ahead and drop the kids off here on your way out? And she's like, well, where are you? And I said, oh, I'm up the road at the tire place. And she's like, doing what? I go, putting tires on the car. Why? Why would you do that now? She starts yelling at me. I said, well, because I can. It's the only. And then she's like, okay, well, I got to go. I got to go. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, just leave. I said, just leave. I go, I'll be home in 20 minutes. I'll walk home right now. Just go out the door. She said, no, I'll take it. Okay. There's that. So she comes and she picks us up, picks me up. And then I said, okay, just drop the kids off. And she's like, no, get in the car. I'll drive you home. I go, you got to go. I'm making you late. And she goes, no, I looked and I have more time than I thought. So then I, of course, do the super mature thing. I go, well, then why the hell are you screaming at me when you know you're not? She's like, well, I didn't know then. Like, stop. So anyway, so we get back to the house and then we hang out for a little bit with the boys. And then we walked for a half hour to this place. Okay. And it was, I know it doesn't sound like a traditional moment of the week that at least I've shared on the, but because it was a lot of like, the kids running around on the sidewalks, and then me having to say, kids are almost 10, like, don't play near the curb, dumbass. But for me, it was kind of eye opening of like how little they do kind of know that even my kids, who I would not say are sheltered, are a little sheltered. And I was like, oh, balls. Like, so I'm kind of talking them through stuff as we're going, but it turned into just this very nice, half hour walk that I'm like, I got to find a way to recreate this. Cause to me, it felt like the snow tubing day where it's like, we're just hanging out. And even though I was getting on them saying, hey, don't stand near the curb, dummy, like that kind of stuff. But there was overall, we were laughing and teasing each other. And Jack was cracking jokes. Jacob, and we're all cracking jokes and laughing, having a good old time. And then we get in the car and I go, and my wife was going to be gone. I go, what are we going to do for dinner? And then Jack, of course, is like, let's go out. And I said, well, and then Jacob goes, didn't you hear mom earlier? And this is before I came home, I guess they'd asked to go out again. And she goes, we've already spent our monthly budget on eating out. So we're done until April or whatever. I said, damn right we are. So I was like, oh, so some of this shit is sinking into him. So then I said, but here's the thing. We got plenty of money left in our grocery budget. I said, so we could go to the store and get some. What do you want to do? And so she's like, he goes, and normally this turns into a fight. But in this given day, they were like, oh, how about spaghetti? And I was like, sure. And then they were like, oh, but they hate going to the grocery store. But then I kind of said, well, it's a thing we got to do. Blah.
Yeah.
Point is, I'm making this way too long. But the point is that overall it was a fun interaction where I felt like, There wasn't any moments of like real frustration, and they overall it was that moment where not necessarily a moment in a touching or a fun like I'm not me I'll keep my vagina forever, but it was more of a thing where it's like I felt a little bit of validation where the things with the budget are seeping in, and the idea of them being able to walk and navigate around on their own. And then I came home, they decided on spaghetti. Which was, and normally what happens is Jacob says, I'll have spaghetti. Jack says, I don't want it, just to be a dick. Not even because he cares about spaghetti, no. But everybody agreed. And then we came home and Jacob and I cooked dinner together. Jack didn't feel like it, so we watched TV.
That's fine.
But overall, and then we just sat and ate dinner, and then we watched a movie. It was like a super action movie for three dudes. So it was just a fun, like, guys' night where we had father-son moments, that's all great. Of that stuff. So
those times are good when you have
right?
those.
And it's part of the reason why I think we do this on the show is because these moments tend to be kind of fleeting and few and far between, but they do, they recharge your batteries. They're sustainable energy of parenting, 100%. Right?
Yes. Oh. You're like, all right, I am okay. I am doing okay with
everything's
this.
Fine. Everything's going to be fine, guys. Fine. Everything's fine. If you want to check out Christy's blog, it is called Pooping in Peace, and you can find that at poopinginpeace.com. It may or may not have a parenting element. I'm not sure.
little bit.
How old do your kids get before you can genuinely poop in peace?
Oh,
are you there yet?
I don't know.
No.
No, I mean, I wait till they go to school. So I guess school age, if you wait till they go to school.
Yeah, I just feel like that's not a fair test.
No, it's not. I mean, because honestly, I still, if they're home and I'm in there, I still get the mom and
they still walk in?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. My guys do that too. Oh, yeah. And I just thought it's because they're boys.
Nope. They'll still open the door. She's hitting me. She's doing. I'm like, really, because I can do something about this. And the best is when my husband's home and they still come back to me while I'm in the bathroom. And I'm like, your father's out there. Go talk to him. I don't need to deal with this right now.
What does Andy think about that? Is he even aware that they come to
him? Oh, no, he is. He'll be like, she's going to the bathroom. Leave her alone. But they always just bypass him.
Yes,
it's like, it's not even like it's a, they went to him and they didn't get the answer. It's just like, they don't, because I'm
there
all
the time.
They know,
though, right? Don't you think they know? I think it's also they know, they even if they're not aware of it, they subconsciously know who to ask for what.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because I get asked 100%. For very, very little,
yeah.
And it's because I say no so often.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So sometimes I say it just for fun, and I laugh in their face.
Yeah. Ha-ha, you thought you were getting that, but
no. So people could go to poopinginpeace.com to check that out. There's a link in the description of this episode here. Although, do you want Facebook or anything like that, or is just Pooping for Peace the best way?
No, Pooping in Peace. Yeah. No, that's probably the best way. Yeah.
And I think but here's the thing: we didn't talk about it because I'm horrible at hosting a show. But I think both Christine, I have said it before on episodes, but I think both you and I would agree that a great way for you to get involved in your community and in your school is to get involved with the PTA and or booster, like whatever it is you got.
Yes.
Like even if you got little time to offer, like we talk about parental moments of the week. Even if you are a full-time working parent with very little time, just the fact that you are sending an email or saying like, listen, I can't even come to the meetings on the night that you guys come, but if there's something I could do to help out from home or anything
alone. It makes such a difference.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything anybody can throw in. Yeah.
Yes. And all the people who are, like, volunteering at all the events and everything, I feel like that gives you a little charge in your batteries to know that somebody else is reaching out. That becomes your own little moment of the week kind of thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And don't, you know, do it when your kids start school. If you can't do it right away or get super involved right away, that's fine. But also don't let other parents put you off because sometimes we can't all be nice and fun like Justin.
No, but you are. You are. I think you're being unlike. Well, here's the thing. I think that there's a stereotypical like vision, like movies like Bad Moms. You see those where there's a stereotypical idea of who
absolutely.
The PTA president is.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that those don't exist. Like we said earlier, stereotypes exist for
a
reason.
We've had them at our school before.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But I think that more often than not, because I think a thing that frustrates both Christy and I when it comes to this is this idea where you hear that they're cliques, like they're cliques within the group. And it's like, and you're sitting there just going, no, I just want everybody to be here. I don't even know how a clique can exist.
It's only it only seems like a clique because it's only the same 15, 20 people doing everything. But we are more than willing to have anybody.
And if you could get over your social, like, because it is awkward.
Yes.
There is an ice-breaking moment. But if you could just come in and just pick one person. Pick one person who's got a smile on their face and walk up to them and say, hey, I'm new here. Like, where should I sit or whatever?
Yeah.
And then that's all it needs. And then because trust me, I'm willing to bet money that they're aware and they want more and more people because it makes it easier and better for everybody.
Oh, I don't think anybody's going to say no if you offer help in any ways.
And for no other reason, this is going to sound like I'm kissing your ass, but if it wasn't for PTI, I would have never gotten to know Christy. And we have a shit ton of fun together all the time.
Yes.
I come over her house. I make her cocktails now when we have executive meetings. It's a fun time all around.
And I think that's a good point, too, is even if you have a PTA that maybe isn't the most fun, you make it fun yourself, then you be the person that brings the fun. I mean, that's my goal for when I became president was to bring more people in, parents, to get involved. And I think part of doing that was me having people over at my house.
No, you did. Yeah.
And
I think there's a lot more people involved now.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's just being more welcoming and in a non-PTA manner, even just having people over at my house with the margarita parties and things I do that have nothing to do with PTA, but we invite everybody from PTA or booster.
And it's fun because everybody just brings like a little food item and I'm sure you do a lot of the labor. Let's be honest, but in a lot of ways it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
It's a good
totally
time. It's one night and everybody has a good time. And
So I mean, if you're that type of person that likes that kind of stuff, you can include that in your PTA by, you know, offering that. Just it's just you have to make it so that other people want to be part of it, basically.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
All right. Thanks.
On behalf of Christy Dedeki, and this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kid, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.